Also, I always say that this theme song, intro, whatever we call it, should be a, it should be on a reel. It should be on somebody's Instagram feed or a TikTok or something. Because it's so rebellious and so just like, ah, in your face. And I think I finally found the picture for it, Caitlin.
Did you?
Yeah. So I was looking at my Facebook and I saw a picture of your husband with a big plate of crawfish, a really big plate of crawfish, I might add. And he's wearing elbow pads, but they're not like regular elbow pads. They're like the ones that you see contractors wear, like, like he's going to do some like real manual labor. And I'm like, man, this dude's really committed to this crawfish. How much is he going to eat where he needs elbow pads?
A lot.
So shout out to Harrison to start the episode, because I was really, I was really impressed by that. And I know there's a backstory to it, you know, but I just thought it was funny that he just had these elbow pads and he was committed to not damaging his elbows again.
Yeah. So last year we had the same crawfish boil. And when we have these boils, we tend to eat like outside on their patio area, 'cause you know, crawfish is a little messy. And last year he was eating and he ate so much like he always does. And he, you know, he's resting his elbows on the table and we're sitting at this like limestone top, bar top outside. So it's not like a plastic table or something. It's long, it's actual stone. And he ate for so long and so much last year that the stone rubbed his elbows raw. And he didn't want that to happen again this year. So he, you know, thought ahead and took initiative and brought elbow pads to protect his elbows this year. And I'm very proud.
Did they protect him? Did they do their job?
Oh, they did do their job, and they're actually a little scuffed up. So, good job, elbow pads.
Shout out to Harrison for being very creative on that. And, you know, if you're at a crawfish boil and you know you're going to eat a lot, yeah, protect them elbows, man. Them elbows need some protection. So, shout out to that. We are in episode 115. Before we get too far into this, let's thank the sponsors. Let's thank Wavespace Audio for the music. Young Ideas Dish for all of your Dish, Google product, and cellular needs. And today we are talking Easter.
Yeah. It is, Easter is coming up this week. So I thought, you know, one episode left, we got to talk about it. And I don't want to talk about the overall, you know, what is Easter? Everyone listening has their own faith and beliefs. So, you know, go to your place of worship to learn about that side. However, I think there is one tradition that everyone can relate to because we've grown up with it. And that is the Easter Bunny.
The Easter Bunny.
And I want to explain where he came from, because there is no Easter Bunny mentioned in the Bible or any other, you know, book of faith that I know of. So where did he come from? Do you have any ideas?
No, I just know he's a rabbit that...
He's a rabbit
that comes once a year. Just like another similar creature that comes once a year. to the boys and girls that are good, I might add.
So I'm gonna kind of explain the theories or the tales that, you know, they have for why we have this. And I should preface this by saying, just like our St. Patrick's Day episode, all of this is, you know, tales. These are all theories. None of this is factual. So take it with a grain of salt. But this is what they say happened to the best of our knowledge.
Yeah, and this one actually comes from a reputable source, right? It was Time Magazine?
Yeah. I found some information from Time Magazine that's basically saying that the Easter Bunny is coming from a really, 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 I say really, old pagan tradition called Oistra. And granted, I don't have the right accent. I'm horrible at accents. But it's spelled E-O-S-T-R-E. And it's an old pagan tradition which honored the goddess of fertility and spring.
Okay.
And the animal associated with the goddess of fertility and spring is the rabbit. Because rabbits obviously have a very high reproductive rate, so they're very fertile, and thus that's why they are related to the goddess of spring and fertility. So they're honoring the goddess, and thus they're honoring the rabbit, which is where that the rabbit kind of comes into play here.
Okay. I'm hooked onto the story now. Let's go. What's going on with this
rabbit? And that comes from the pagans, which I'm learning that a lot of our faith-based religions come from the pagans. So we're all pagan in the end. But how did that tradition from the pagans, you know, over in Europe get to America, right? Because America is not as old as that. We're a very young country. How did it get over here? So I looked up on history.com, and history.com says that the Easter Bunny was first introduced to the Americas in the 1700s by German immigrants who moved to what is now known as Pennsylvania. And the Germans brought over their tradition, because remember, they were over from Europe, so they were, you know, more closer to the pagans, of, you know, blah, blah, blah. But they brought over the tradition of an egg-laying bunny named Osterhaus, or Oysterhaus. And again, I'm not German, I'm not saying this stuff right. But this was a bunny who would lay eggs and would come to your house and lay eggs if you were a good kid. Now, and not just any eggs, but like colorful, fun eggs.
Let us point out that bunnies don't lay eggs, first of all. Like,
yeah.
That's not the anatomy of a bunny. They don't lay eggs.
Yeah. But I guess bunnies are cuter than chickens. Like, I don't want a chicken coming over and laying colorful eggs. Anyway, so kids, hoping that, you know, I was a good boy or girl this year, would make little nests in the house so that this Easter bunny would come and lay colorful eggs for them as gifts. And they would even leave out things like carrots or other vegetables in case the bunny got hungry. And this happened once a year if you were a good boy or girl. And what does that sound like to you?
Okay, so now this sounds like this happens twice a year. Because a few months earlier, this other thing showed up and he brought you stuff if you were a good boy or girl. And he would eat your food too. But he didn't. Mm-hmm. He didn't produce it from himself. He'd whittle you a toy or something. So okay.
He didn't poop out your presents.
No, yeah, okay, you said it, not me. Yes, that's interesting. I didn't really know that. I think the story I thought growing up was that he would bring you the egg or the toy, not that he actually like dumped it out of his body. So, growing up, we didn't have, I mean, we knew of the Easter Bunny and we had Easter baskets, but it was never like, oh, the Easter Bunny is going to bring you this. It's like, no, mom and dad are giving you a basket with your stuff in it. We didn't, and we had Easter egg hunts and all that, but Myrna was raised differently where a bunny did actually show up and give you presents. So that's how Andrew's been raised, is there's an Easter Bunny that comes by and brings you stuff. And he doesn't bring you like Santa Claus caliber stuff. You know, he brings you like trinkets. Candy, mainly candy and trinkets is what I guess you would call like a stocking stuffer. It would be the equivalent to that, I think, in for Easter.
Yeah, and that's how I grew up too. Obviously, I didn't believe in the Easter Bunny, but I knew my parents, they'd get baskets. And most of the time it was a lot of candy, a chocolate bunny, and then trinkets. Like you said, like as a girl, my mom would get me like a necklace or a bracelet or something like that, or a little lip balm or lip gloss, something like that. But no, that's what we did every year. And it kind of goes, this article kind of tries to explain why the rabbit is laying eggs. Cause again, rabbits are mammals and they don't lay eggs. So it's either one, a miracle, cause he's so magical. He just is the bunny that lays magic eggs. I don't know. Or it's probably the other reason, which is that, you know, eggs themselves, just like rabbits, are like an ancient symbol of fertility, new life, rebirth, all that jazz. So they just took one symbol of fertility and combined it with another symbol of fertility, and thus you have an egg-laying rabbit.
So, okay, you made a good comment. You said something about rebirth. Is that how I got connected to Easter? By like the actual, like if you're looking at it from the religious standpoint, I mean, if there's a resurrection, quote, rebirth, is that kind of where they try to tie it all in?
That's not what I read or got out of this article, because again, the Easter Bunny comes from that pagan tradition where it's related to the goddess of birth and fertility, but not necessarily like resurrection. That's completely different.
I always just wonder, like, you know, at some point somebody correlated this. Somebody put this together and it's like, oh, this would go well with this. And this is why, you know, I don't know. I don't get too far into that. But yeah, do we have any kind of numbers on like Easter in general? I mean, I know it's not probably Christmas quality numbers as far as retail, but I'm sure that there's some kind of ridiculous numbers out there on money that's being made this time of year.
I mean, I'm sure it's a lot. I don't have an exact number, but if you think about the number of chocolate bunnies, and which are disgusting, by the way. My parents would get me one every year and I never ate them, ever. I think it's the worst chocolate that has ever been made
They're
on
hollow.
this earth. They're disgusting.
They're hollow, and I swear it doesn't matter who makes them. Like Cadbury could make them, or Hershey or somebody, and Mars, and they all taste the same. I don't think one tastes better than the other. Like especially when,
No.
like I said, it's that weird hollow. Like there's no cho like it's just like a chocolate shell, and they taste like crap. Now,
Yeah, they don't even taste like chocolate.
no, it's kind of a chalky taste. It's almost like when you get a protein shake that's chocolate and it's really kind of like that chalky taste. It's not really chocolate, it's like, I don't know, chocolate-esque. That's kind of what that particular candy tastes like to me. It's a horrible attempt at chocolate. Now
It's awful.
the Cadbury egg, that thing is a hot seller. That does very well. Have you had a Cadbury egg?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of them. They're too sweet for my preference, but I get the appeal.
You know, it's a chocolate, and they got the chocolate part right. It's a chocolate, and the inside is supposed to be the yolk, and it's caramel, and it's not bad. You know, you can't eat a lot of them though. I think it will hurt your stomach.
No, but their marketing team is genius because, they're only available around this time of year, the Easter season. So they probably can guesstimate, or I say guesstimate, they got people whose job it is to tell them how much to make. So I'm sure they sell out because again, it's like a once a year you're able to buy kind of thing, and then they don't have to overproduce. So I'm sure it's a really, really good investment on their end
Well,
because it's not something they have to make year round.
they don't have to overproduce it, and if they do, if a store has too much inventory, people will buy it on clearance or whatever. People love that one. The other one that you only see seasonally, I believe it's still seasonal, is the Peep. Isn't the Peep?
Oh, I hate peeps.
No. So I didn't like Peeps either. Peeps are these little marshmallow, like a little marshmallow like chicken, right? I think it's a chicken.
I mean, they come in like little chicks, like a little, like a baby chicken
Yeah, and
shape, or they also have bunnies too.
well, I didn't like the original ones. When I started dating Myrna 10, 12 years ago, that's all they had. And now they've evolved to where they have different flavors. It's not just a regular marshmallow coated whatever. Now it's like watermelon and cherry and apple and sour apple, all this junk. And they're actually pretty good. Like the different flavor ones are not bad.
Okay.
I don't like the originals, but I remember her niece and nephew, you know, when I was first dating, they love those things at Easter. And I'm like, those things are disgusting. And then they started coming out with new flavors. It's like, okay. I had a watermelon one a couple days ago. It's like, okay, this is not bad. You know, I can handle that. But
Yeah,
I believe, I
on
believe.
the original ones, they taste like a marshmallow that has 50% less flavor, that's coated in sugar, that's not sweet. And it tastes to me like gasoline. I don't know why, but I think it is disgusting.
Well,
But I will try these different flavors out.
now it's like watermelon flavored marshmallow covered in sugar. You know, it's the same concept. It just doesn't taste like gasoline. Don't know where the gasoline taste came from, but okay.
That's what I taste when I eat them, and I can't stand it. Anyway, so we talked about the Easter Bunny, where he came from, why he lays eggs, why we look forward to it every year. And that's kind of a tradition that, at least, here in America and across the world that we celebrate. But I also looked up some other like Easter traditions that maybe you haven't heard of, because specifically a lot of them aren't done here in the U.S. and I thought some of them are interesting. So I also wanted to go over those.
What we got?
Yep. So over in the U.K., they do a bonnet parade. So like a bonnet is like a little hat, mostly for children.
Mm-hmm.
So kids over in the U.K. will build or make their own bonnets and decorate them before Easter with like little flowers or little bunnies attached, like big, you know, stuffed bunnies attached to them. And apparently the competition in this gets pretty heated.
Really?
Yes. So the children are supposed to like decorate their bonnets themselves, but you know, parents are gonna parent and they're gonna get involved to help make their kid's bonnet look better than everybody else's. And so these kids will decorate their bonnets and then wear them to school and have like a school parade or like a local parade in their town. And they walked in this parade just wearing their bonnets for everyone to see, waving to the crowd, like, check out my bonnet. I'm so cool.
So it's kind of like, it sounds kind of like the homecoming mum here in America. It's like the kids, it started off with the kids decorating it. And now it's like the parents get into it, and then you get these like really elaborate ones that like you have to put over your shoulder because they're so heavy and so elaborate. That sounds like the American version of a homecoming mom.
I agree. We just don't get parades for it.
Mm-mm. No, we have a homecoming parade, you know?
So, yeah. I guess depending on where you live, you could have one.
Yeah.
So the next cool... I say cool. The next tradition is something that they do over in Germany. So the Thursday before Easter in Germany, the tradition is to only eat greens. So like green vegetables, green fruits. And it's associated with the German word for grief, which is, I'm going to totally butcher this. Quote, Gründonnerstag, which means Green Thursday.
I think you did okay on that one.
Thank you. I mean, I come from German roots, so. But apparently on the Thursday before Easter, it's very traditional for them to eat a salad known as Green Thursday Soup, which doesn't make sense because they call it a salad, but it's actually soup. And they eat, it's like a soup that's made with a lot of different herbs, like parsley, nettle, dandelion. I mean, things literally a rabbit would eat on the ground.
Oh.
And they're supposed to eat that with just like green vegetables and fruits. Like they can't eat any meat because it's like a day of grief and weeping because it's the day before Good Friday, which apparently, according to Christian, you know, in Christianity is the day that, you know, Jesus was crucified. Mm-hmm. So it is... It's like a pre-mourning to Good Friday.
It's a pre-mourning.
Yeah, so they don't eat meat on that day.
Okay.
We'll switch countries. We'll go to a whole different country. Let's talk about Spain. So during the Easter season, if you know what Lent is the 40 days leading up to Easter Day.
Mm-hmm.
And during Lent, people try to give up things that... they might consider, you know, having an abundance of, like you're having too much of. So for a lot of people, that could be like sweets, like chocolate. Maybe you're going to give that up for Lent, especially if you indulge in it
mm-hmm.
a whole lot during the year. So when it comes to celebrating Easter in Spain, the Spaniards have a day called Mona de Pascua.
I think they're called Spaniards. I don't think they're Spaniards. I think they're Spaniards.
I meant to say Spaniards. I'm sorry. And did I pronounce that correctly? Because, you know, you speak Spanish. I do not. Mona de Pascua.
What are you trying
Pascua.
To say? Pascua?
Mona de
Pascua.
P-A-S-C-U-A.
Pascua.
Pascua.
Close enough.
Sorry. I am so horrible at accents. But this is a cake. That's what I'm trying to get at, is that this is a cake and it is shaped like a donut and it is topped with boiled eggs.
What?
And I know that sounds really weird.
Sounds disgusting.
Yes. So, because I guess you're also not supposed to technically eat eggs during the Lenten season, because again, eggs are symbols of fertility, blah, 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 blah. So they save their eggs during the Lenten season and they'll decorate them and all that. But then they make this donut shaped cake. They boil their eggs and then they serve the eggs in the hole, the donut hole of the cake.
What?
Now that was back in the day. In current times, they will now like make chocolate eggs to put on this cake, because putting normal eggs on it sounds disgusting.
I'm sure it tastes disgusting too.
But yeah, no, nowadays most bakers over there will just put chocolate eggs on it. But I would eat that if it was chocolate, because it looks like a delicious cake with chocolate in the center. So that sounds delicious. Hmm. And now I kind of want some.
I wonder where you can get that at.
Spain.
No, I wonder in America. I wonder if you can go to a Spanish cafe, they might have that.
Maybe. I literally had never heard of that until I researched this article, but I thought that was interesting. That they go all out and get their sweets back by having this donut cake with eggs in it.
Donut cake with eggs.
We'll move countries again. Let's talk about France. So in France, church bells ring every day, except during Easter. So the bells are typically silent from Good Friday, which is the Friday before Easter, to Holy Saturday, which is the Saturday before Easter, because again, that's the time that Jesus was, you know, crucified, and the 3 days he was dead before he resurrects on Easter Day.
Mm-hmm.
And the old story or tale, at least what parents tell their kids, is that the bells are silent because they're flying all the way to Rome for a special blessing by the Pope. And then the bells fly all the way back and return by Easter morning, and then they begin to like ring again.
Okay.
And the Easter bells are believed to bring chocolates and other, you know, sweet treats when they come back.
So there's not a bunny, there's a bell.
It's a bell.
Okay. That sounds less realistic than the bunny. Than the bunny that poops out chocolate.
I'm not saying they don't do the bunny thing either, but it's the fact that the majority of the French are Roman Catholics, so the bells typically are ringing every day, and I guess it's something that you're used to if you live over there, and the fact that they're silent for 3 days, you know, you can play up to kids' imaginations and be like, yeah, they flew to Rome, they're getting blessed, and they're going to come back on Easter Day in 3 days, and they're going to bring all this chocolate. You're going to get so much chocolate from these flying bells.
So do these kids get twice the presents? They get Easter bunny presents and they get candy from the bells?
I guess it depends on the parent.
Man, those French kids are spoiled.
Oh yeah, they got, you know, good food over there in general.
They
like, it's have, just it's just a cool day
they
over
already
there.
Have good sweets. They don't need more.
Okay, let's talk about another country. How about Poland? Let's talk about good old Poland.
What do they do?
So in Poland on Easter Monday, so it's the day after Easter Sunday, there is a tradition there that says that young kids are given like free rein to soak people or whoever they want with buckets of water, water balloons, water pistols.
What?
And I guess if they say if you're young at heart, you're allowed to join in on this too. But I guess the day after Easter, they basically just have like this big water fight.
Okay.
With whoever and whomever is on the streets.
That's kind of cool.
I think that sounds fun. Yeah. Like, I like water balloons and water guns are really fun.
Yeah. So that was, yeah. It's a more modern, I guess, thing, because they didn't have water balloons and water guns.
The reason they do this over there is because there's a tradition, again, that dates back to fertility rituals. And I guess, you know, back in the pagan times, there was a fertility ritual that only involved girls and young women. And they would just soak girls and young women in water because, you know, girls and women were, you know, the fertile gender, were the ones that, you know, give birth and everything. So it comes from that, but it kind of has evolved few modern times where just everyone gets soaked, not just, you know,
not just
girls
women.
And women.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Huh.
But now I want to do that. That sounds fun. As long as it's warm enough, because if it's kind of cold still, you know, that doesn't sound fun.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. It, now, it would sound fun in, like, August, but not necessarily in April.
All right, let's move on to Italy.
What are the Italians?
I'm so excited. I love Italy.
What are the Italians?
So in Florence, Italy, on the morning of Easter Sunday, there would be, you know, carts and all types of, like, vendors that would sell fireworks. And this is something that's gone back, like, over like 300 years or something like that. And in a certain town in Florence, they have this other tradition that's also been going on. And it's a cheese rolling competition.
Okay.
It's a game known as Ruzzolone. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong too, but it's spelled Ruzz, R-U-Z-Z, alone, O-L-O-N-E. And it's a simple game. Basically, if you're competing, what you do is you take a giant, massive wheel of cheese. And this wheel will weigh about 4 kilos. Mm-hmm. And here in America, that's the same weight as, like, a grown adult cat.
Yeah.
And they would just, you know, roll it down the village. And the object of it is to get your wheel of cheese to roll down the streets around, like, some obstacles that they'll set up. And the winner of this gets the cheese. But I mean, I don't know what I would do with cheese that I just rolled down the dirty street of, you know,
yeah,
in this town in Italy. But if you win, you get to keep the wheel of cheese for free. So I'm assuming hopefully they eat it.
Yay, you get dirty cheese. Old dirty cheese has been rolled around the... I mean, I guess you could cut the outer layer out. I'm sure people do. But I'm just like, I don't want grimy old cheese. Like, I mean, it was fine until it got rolled down the thing.
But apparently, too, after the whole cheese rolling competition, they do throw a big party. So they have the band, they make pizza, there's wine. So it's a big celebration then, after the cheese rolling.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's that. So I guess if you're all jacked up on wine, you can have old dirty cheese and you'll be okay.
I'm going to do one more. So this one was kind of weird. And I didn't know if I wanted to bring it up, but I figured I would. So in some cultures, throughout the world during Easter time, mostly like North England, Northeast England and the Netherlands and stuff like that. There's a game that they play, where two people or two players will go head to head with a pair of hard boiled eggs, and they tape them against each other until one gets cracked. And this is called egg jarping. I've literally never heard of this. I haven't seen a video of it, so maybe it looks more fun than it sounds reading it on paper, but it's called egg jarping, and you tape boiled eggs to your opponent until they crack. And they even have a world jarping championship every year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's a tradition over in, like, the Netherlands, again, in Romania and in that region. So I still don't get the appeal, but I kind of want to watch a video now, because maybe it's more fun or more challenging than I'm thinking.
I don't know. And what's it called again?
Jarping. J-A-R-P-I-N-G. Egg jarping.
Egg jarping.
Unless the J is silent, it's like yarping or something. I don't know. But I kind of want to, like, Google a video of this and look it up.
Egg yarping. Egg jarping.
Jarping, yarping.
Is there any...
Anyway, I know that was a lot, but it's a lot of, even around the world, no matter how you celebrate Easter, a lot of it comes down to eggs and rabbits.
eggs
and fertility.
And
it's all based on fertility and spring and rebirth, and it's, you know, a beautiful season, and winter is over, everything's coming back to life, like all your plants and your grass and the trees. So they all kind of stem from the same place. So I think that's kind of cool, and it's cool to learn about how other cultures celebrate.
Yeah, you know, it's however you want to celebrate it, you know, wherever you're from. I guess it's all the same thing, right? Everybody, kind of like Christmas, you know, everybody has their own way to celebrate it, but it's all kind of centered around the same thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not to get too religious, but it's kind of all centered around the same thing.
It all comes from the pagans.
Those dang pagans.
Those pagans. Those heathens.
Yeah. They're heathens, but they led us in all this, apparently.
Yeah. But yeah, what'd you think? Were you surprised by some of those traditions from around the world?
Yeah, you know.
And learning about the egg laying bunny.
It was interesting to hear about the egg laying bunny. I don't recall hearing that as a child. So I was kind of intrigued by the egg laying bunny.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we're in Easter week now. Spring is here. You know, Easter came early, so spring has sprung. The weather's getting better. We're just plowing through 2024, by the way. I'd like to point that out.
I know, this is crazy.
We are in the last week of March.
I can't believe it. That's so crazy.
We are plowing through this. What's the next major holiday? Is it Memorial Day? Right? Memorial
Yeah.
Day. Yeah.
As long as you don't, I mean, I don't count April Fool's Day. So yeah, I think Memorial Day.
Yeah, we're right there. Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, mm-hmm. summertime, you know.
The fun half of the year.
Yes, the fun part.
Yeah, this time of year, it's like, okay, if you're religious, you're in Lent, and there's no football, and I guess kind of like some March Madness has popped up, so maybe you can look forward to that. It's tax season, so you have to do your taxes, and it's allergies because everything's coming back to life, mm-hmm. like all the bugs and the dander. So it's a fun time of year, but it's a not fun time of year. And I always look forward to the second half of the year post Memorial Day is what I look forward to.
Oh, it'll be here before you know it. It'll all be here before
you
know it.
Stop.
This time's flying too fast, man. Well, happy Easter for those of you that celebrate Easter. You know, I think everybody to some extent does.
Yeah. So, and if you don't celebrate Easter, have a good day.
Yeah, enjoy your day. Hopefully it'll be a beautiful day for everybody, regardless of
if you celebrate. I hope so.
Just nice weather, hanging out, you know, enjoying time with the family. So
yeah, enjoy time with your friends and family, all that jazz. Good vibes all around.
So I think that's going to wrap us up, right?
Yes, sir.
So before we go away, let's thank the sponsors. Let's thank Wayspace Audio for the music, Young Ideas Dish for all of your Dish and Google product needs. And that's going to wrap up episode 115.
That'll do it.
So on behalf of myself and Ms. Caitlin, we are Law and Disorder, and we will holler at you guys next time.
Bye.
Laters.